far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we get to review NashiCon 2015 and Psychic Wars. Hey folks, this is Zionic here. I just want to let you guys know about the audio quality in this episode. It first started out as I had my guest Vince over here, and he was using my iPad to record, and there was some feedback reverb or whatever, or some really bad echoing, and so we figured, oh, we can try this one mic and try sharing it. And I thought it would work okay, but it sounded a whole lot worse than that. So I just wanted to give a heads up. Yeah, one other quick note, guys. I did an interview with Vince over at, or our guest on this episode over at NashiCon, so that's actually going to come in right after we're done talking about the convention and anything before a review of Psychic Wars, so definitely get a listen out of that, and then of course we'll go into a review of it. So hopefully you enjoy the interview, and thanks for listening. There was a delay when he said maybe.
People can tell what we're saying. It'll be fine.
All right, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Maybe they call the balance out.
This would be the special Echo edition.
Yeah.
This is also a NashiCon review. So, like, usually these podcasts, when I do them, the quality is never that well anyways. Just to kind of reflect my personal feelings on the convention as a whole. Dude, I did mine on my phone last year, and it sounded terrible. And then I released it 4 months later when nobody listened to it. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Hey, everyone, this is the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. I am the host right now, Zionic, and you have my co-host, John.
Yes.
And also with us today is the first ever of Anime Yesteryear podcast history where I have an actual guest in my room, the AOY Podcast Studios, you could say. And this is Vincent Baker, who is going to introduce himself and why he's here.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. As he mentioned, my name is Vincent Baker. I am the creator of a tabletop RPG called Otherworlds. The game is heavily inspired by anime and different video games that you may have interest in, and I go to anime conventions and other types of conventions and host this game for the public to play, and it's been exploding recently, and I'm just happy to be here, so thanks for having me.
Awesome.
I said nice to meet you.
Thanks. Nice to meet you too.
All right. Let's get all the awkwardness out. And actually, Vince, could you talk a little bit about your game?
Yeah, so Otherworlds is all, as the name implies, it's about exploring other worlds. You go adventuring through these different planets that all have their own unique races. You go shoot and loot, and it's all about playing with friends and being able to create any type of character that you want. We say that this is the limitless tabletop RPG, and the reason why we say it's limitless is because any sort of character, any sort of creation, any sort of race that you want to be built into this game, you can do so easily and make it really fun to play within the game. So,
awesome. And actually, I went ahead and interviewed you at NashiCon about the game. So I'll actually put the interview for that in this podcast, and even on a link, I'll even have like a time code of where you can get to that interview with me and Vince talking, trying to talk over the crowd and the traffic of little children running by us as I was trying to interview you. But I listened to it and it turned out okay. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So actually, I was wanting to use this as our way to discuss NashiCon since we were both there on Saturday, and we can talk about it for a little bit and just really the pros and the cons of the convention. As John, my co-host John, would know, he usually knows that this is when I usually rant about this convention every year because there's always something to rant about it.
But yeah, you can't help but to keep going back and back again.
I ask myself every year. It's like, oh, that time of year is here. Someone's asking me to go. It's $20. Why not? I'll shell it out. But I really don't have a lot of I have some negativity, but I really don't have a lot to say about NashiCon because, like, because
they stepped their game
up. So this year their guest was Spike Spencer again, and then also Cal Hebert showed up. And I actually was at a there was an autograph session after Kyle's like voice acting panel, which I think you went to, right?
Yes, I did go to it. It was a lot of fun. He had people come up and demonstrate their different death sounds, like as if they were dying by getting blown up by lasers and stuff. And so it was, he was very interactive with the crowd. He was very funny. He did like a lot of funny sounds and voices. And he even did like some Walking Dead impressionations where he's like, "Carl, get back here." And like, it was pretty funny.
Nice.
I enjoyed it.
Well, no, actually, see, I caught the end of it because I was like, "Oh, we'll just get there in time for the autograph thing." And that's when they had this one girl up there that tried her best, and we were all kind of, and I think even it was just like, "Yeah, that was a good job."
Yeah, there was one girl who he got to try to do the voices or whatever, and everyone in the room, like you could tell, there's this awkward silence because as she was making her noises, she was like, and he was like, "Good job." And he was like starting to clap and everyone just clapped along. And I feel, you know, kind of bad. I mean, I give her props though for getting up because, you know, not everyone could just get up and start trying to make death sounds in front of the crowd or anything. But yeah, it was pretty, she stood out as being by far the worst out of everyone. So.
Well, I think if people from the convention hear this, they think we're going to single out girls and like, "Oh, how dare you be mean to this person?" So we really can't say a sex or a description. We should just say human being, since this con is full of them. This is a complaint that's been written in our comment section about like how ruthless I was.
This is the one where you took a picture of some art and they left a bunch of comments complaining. "Why did you say you didn't get this piece of art that you took a picture of at this con?"
Yeah, that was a couple years ago, actually. Like, I just took it for fun because I didn't understand it. I was just like, "Well, I'll just post it up." And then, like, someone got offended. It was like Atomic Muffin or whatever. Oh, I singled them out. That was a comment from, like, 2 years ago. And who I don't even know who they are in person, so oh well. But, anyways, I'm probably not going to bother edit that out. But no, like, I went ahead and got Spike to sign my... a couple things for me. I had a Battle Angel DVD that I went ahead and signed. And also there's a box set above your head, Vincent, with Nadesco on it. And that's the Right Stuff box that I got for Christmas. So yeah, I had him sign it. And I was like, "Yeah." And you met my girlfriend there too. So she came with me in the line so she can get a photo with Kala Hebert. And I was just like telling him like, "Yeah, you know, my girlfriend and I are really enjoying the show." And like, it's a really dumb show, but it's really fun to watch. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I agree." Cause like he worked on it. And then also I had him sign, God, what was the other thing? Oh, my Evangelion 2.2 Blu-ray. That was it. And that was pretty much it. And I shook Kyle Hebert's hand because he was at Animazement a couple years ago. And because he was at there was a really big Dragon Ball Z kind of panel thing that was like sort of the central focus of that. And I kind of missed the really big one on Sunday. And I kind of shook his hand. I was like, "Hey, man, too bad I missed you a couple years ago at Animazement for the big Dragon Ball Z thing." And like, he was like really cool about it. So like he's definitely one of those guys that's like he's not there or he would like if he didn't have his fans he wouldn't be there.
Yeah, definitely a cool guy, and he actually has his own podcast. I'm not sure if you knew.
Yeah, I think I saw because it was a really big thing at Animazement when he did like this giant Kamehameha wave with him and the Japanese voice actress, which is like her last name is Noizawa, and it was them and like this like fan like it was cosplaying as Super Saiyan 3 Goku, and they both did a major Kamehameha thing. So, and I think he recorded it too, but I think it was the English voice actor for Goku. I can't think. As Sean Schimmel, I think.
Yeah,
Sean Schimmel. Yeah,
that's the Funimation okay. Goku.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to get a reunion of the Ocean Dub cast.
Well, a lot of those guys were at the red carpet premiere of the new movie in Los Angeles. I saw a picture of the Japanese voice actress for Goku, I think was there, and
nice.
Probably the English voices too.
I guess for me, I can get into my gripes a little bit. Well, actually, no, one more other fun thing, and this was something I introduced you to at the game room, and that was Windjammers.
Oh boy, Windjammers. Yeah.
But yeah, Windjam, it was the guys who bring their arcade stuff to Animation every year, since I know they've been bringing stuff to NashiCon. So the fact that they had Windjammers there this year, the echo's getting really bad.
Yeah.
Do you want to try hosting the call?
It was like I couldn't tell half of that story what it was because of the echo. So I think maybe I should try hosting it, yeah.
Okay, let me go ahead and end it.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, let's see if it's added your friend yet or not. I think it hasn't.
Oh, you got it. All right, how's the echo sound?
It's not bad now.
Okay. Vince, try saying something.
Hey, here's me saying something.
Yeah, there's no echo anymore. Okay, that's good.
Oh, my internet sucks.
Yeah, it could have just been a connection issue. I don't know.
I don't know how it's a connection issue. I mean, I've got a hardwired line hooked up to my new computer. So, anyways. Because even I noticed the echo when I was talking. But, yeah. I think my story was the fact that they had Windjammers there. And that was the game I totally raved about at Animazement last year. And so that's how I got. And then me and Vince played a few rounds of that. And he picked it up instantly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you to be fair, you did wipe the floor with me first game. Second game, I started learning a little bit more. Third game, I was like, I was giving you some competition. And I think the fourth game is when I beat you, and then I was like, yeah, I want to end it here. And you know, like, I think by that time, yeah, you're still better than me, but I was able to put up a fight at least.
Yeah, you adapted very well to that game. It's just really like dashing, grabbing the frisbee, and then throwing it on the other side. It's not hard. I don't know why my girlfriend Dory couldn't figure that out, but
you just have to be like on point. You just have to move like with everything. Yeah. You have to feel the system.
Well, I'm gonna have to put her under rigorous game training for that. I actually got a mod of that game for Neo Geo on my Nintendo Wii, so I can just hook that up and just like tie her to that same chair you're sitting in and said, "You're not moving until you beat me in Windjammers." And then totally make it into an 80s montage from like Bloodsport or something. See, I'm a caring and loving boyfriend. I'm still trying to understand how this works. I don't think she's going to approve, in theory. How do we sound on your end, John?
It's still good.
Okay, awesome. So also with the convention, I'm even hearing a little bit of an echo on my end.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear it again. Okay, that's better, yeah.
We're literally like inches away from making out. Yeah. Again. I mean, this is how close this is.
Totally happened.
This is gonna be CG's favorite episode.
No. This is why I was trying to avoid the using this thing. So we're like, whatever. This is how it is.
Yeah, you might have to change the title of this episode to "Getting Intimate with
All right, Windjammers. I think that's where we're at. I don't even know if we got to start over. You know what? I'll just play with the settings when I get this and just be like, you know what, guys? It's echoey for the next first 20 minutes, and then after that, it gets better.
Yeah, so to sum up Windjammers, Dustin showed me the game. He beat me. I adapted. I beat him. It got much better. I was like a Super Saiyan every time I got beat down. I got stronger and stronger.
The game, seriously.
Yeah, I warned them beforehand. I said, "Hey, like whenever I play a game, I adapt really fast. Like I'll do terrible the first few rounds, but I just like once I learn the system, I'll do really well." So he beat me down, and I got up. I turned Super Saiyan 1, then 2, then 3, and then beat him. That's how it worked.
Beat me, when I grabbed the frisbee into like the because like in Windjammers, if you capture someone special. And you're right there at the goal line. You get blasted in there and like into the stadium. That's just how that game works.
His character got so mad that he broke his sunglasses and started crying.
Yes. My character's defeat move, which is Kay Wessel, is the fact that he'll grab his gigantic 80s retro sunglasses and crush them in sadness. And I was like, all right, I can't let this stand, Vince. We got to go one more round. And then that was also, I think, was a really good round, too.
Yeah, it was really close, but he managed to beat me, unfortunately.
I'm glad they had Windjammers there. And actually, like, other people played Windjammers. I think, like, as soon as we left, it was, like, two people that walked over there. And they were just, like, ecstatic that Windjammers was open. And I was like, all right, this is the game, the perfect game at the convention. Or the perfect game in life, is what I'd say. I think I was going to mention about the negatives of the convention based off my mind. And that's about the couple of panels which I checked out with my girlfriend. And also a friend of mine was there from school that we were in one of those. Okay, so, John, I'm gonna ask you something. So, if you were to do a Studio Ghibli panel, how would you think you would do it?
Well, I guess you could try to show, like, short clips from each Miyazaki movie and talk about the history of them and talk about Warriors of the Wind and that sort of thing, show some really bad dub clips and that sort of thing is what I would try to show off, because a lot of people haven't seen that dub, which is one of the worst anime dubs ever made. It's, you know, people would probably come to the panel just to see what dubs were like 30 years ago.
Okay, everything you just said is 500 times better than what I saw there in a matter of 2 minutes.
What would they do? Just show a whole movie or something?
Something like that. There's a, I think someone, I literally tweeted about this because you saw this, but literally I was in there and they had a Studio Ghibli documentary playing. I literally think someone went in there, plopped in a DVD, hit play, and walked away for an hour. I kid you not.
Didn't you say that this also happened at a G Gundam panel? Like, this is happening all over the con?
Those are the only two that I know of, but yes, a G Gundam panel. I figured some guy was going to spend an entire hour talking about G Gundam and having other people talk about G Gundam for an hour, because that's what I wanted to see. Turns out it's some guy behind a desk, and again, we got in halfway through the panel, and I was like, oh, this is probably going to be the thick and the heat of like the discussion of like racial themes and G Gundam or whatever, and like, oh, maybe we're going to be on a discussion of like, the Tequila Gundam should have been called, like, Dos Equis Gundam or something like that. Just something ridiculous. But no, it was somebody playing the first two episodes of G Gundam, and they had no context, no commentary, and they just went from one episode to the other. He said nothing to anybody the entire time there. So basically, it's like having a viewing room for G Gundam.
Yeah, so basically these guys were all just using panels as viewing rooms.
Yeah, which really says the quality of, like, oh, I guess Nashikon will literally take any kind of panel submission. Or maybe these people just flat out lied on what they're going to do, and no one was there to like give them any kind of QA about it.
Yeah, either are possible.
Other than us, we were being honest about the QA at this con, especially those two panels. So I'm really glad that they got two good voice actors there. I mean, Spike came back again, but then they got Kyle Hebert, and that was the crowd pleaser. But like those other two panels, it's like really that your standards and quality is that low. Not to put any like afterthought into making it like more interactive with the crowd. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty bad. Has it been like this any other years you've gone?
Not that I know of. I mean, this is the first time I've been. I don't know, like, if it was a staff thing or like, oh, no one submitted a panel, so let's just make up our own and we'll just pop in a DVD or whatever. I mean, I think that might have been what happened too. Like, it's hard for me to see like a fan literally spend an hour of their time popping in a DVD and not really talking about it at all. It had to have been a staff thing just to fill up panel submission times, because maybe hardly no one submitted anything for panels this year. That's what I think, but again, I could be wrong.
Do you get in for free if you do a panel?
I think I did 2 years ago when I did my panel there.
And, I bet some people just figured they didn't want to come up with anything to say for these panels, so they figured they'd get in for free if they just play a DVD for an hour or something like that.
Hey, I guess it worked for them. It was a great scam.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to at least disclose that on the events to say it's just a viewing thing.
Well, I think the way I read it on that, I had like sort of an online schedule thing, and it was like, here, let's discuss the awesomeness of G-Gundam. I believe that's how I read it. There was nothing awesome to discuss about G Gundam than just watching the show. And then, granted, watching G Gundam is amazing, but I mean, I looked over to Dory and I was just like, Dory, I've got like the first 20 episodes on DVD. We can just watch this at home. And I was just like, and I told my friend Dan, I was just like, hey, we're going to go to Dealer's Room. You're welcome to stay. But I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what ticked me off really about that, but I was just like, whatever.
I mean, that's the problem anyways, because if you're a huge fan of the show, you've already seen it. If you're not a huge fan of the show, you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop by and watch it.
Yeah, and I don't know if they had like a viewing room this year, so maybe that was just kind of an excuse, but it did show something at a quote-unquote anime. Also, we did go to one other panel. and I brought my girl, I brought Zoe there because she's a big Pokemon nerd. And actually, one of the people from the staff had an actual Pokemon panel there. And it was actually did involve discussing with the crowd. And it was basically people like talking about their favorite Pokemon and stuff. And she was very involved in it. So I know she had a good time with that because at least it was interacting with the person running the panel. They even had sort of a trivia thing at the end of the panel where she was giving out some stuff because she was moving. And so it was kind of like one of those, like, you would win to get the, like, the first play, first part, or be the first person to get stuff, and they'll go through, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera. And, apparently there was something about how there was, like, a trivia thing where, it was, like, something that involved, like, evolves from, like, a stone, or maybe, like, the different kind of evolution for Eevee. And it was something like that, but I think, somebody mentioned, like, a basic Pokemon, then, like, an evolved one. And then from then on, people, like, I just went with the basic ones, and she accepted that, and my girlfriend's like, wait, that's messed up, that's not right, or whatever. So she was having a chow about that. I think it was something like somebody said Vulpix, and it's like, a Pokemon that can evolve from, like, a certain stone or something. And then, like, but then, like, if Ninetales is the evolved form of a Vulpix, like, at least I know that much about Pokemon.
I think what happens is you give the Vulpix a Firestone, and it evolves into a Ninetales.
Right, but then I'm not sure if we misunderstood the question or something, but I thought we had a name. I thought the people up there had a name, the evolved type, and then someone named the basic before the evolution. She accepted that, and then other people picked like other Pokemon that did the same thing, and so it wasn't just me. It was other people around the crowd that were going like, "Wait, that's not right. That's messed up." And we're just like, "Whatever." But that was still a better panel than the other two I didn't mention about. So,
yeah.
I think of something. And then, like, we went to the Minkoi Ramen place for dinner. How'd you like the food there?
Well, I actually didn't eat there, but...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it wasn't because I was, like, afraid of the food or anything. It was just because I simply was not hungry. And, yeah, but the food looked delicious. It looked like you guys enjoyed it, so that's something.
You're able to smell it?
Yes, I was able to smell it. My Wolverine senses kicked in and said it was some yummy food. So.
Oh, yeah. So, since you actually, like, what time did you show up?
I believe I arrived there at 1:30, which was a bit later than when I was supposed to get there. Just I was riding with some friends and some things came up and we got there sort of late. It was an interesting day, though, because I kept switching off between hanging out with them, hanging out by myself, and hanging out with you. So,
okay.
Yeah, I was kind of bouncing everywhere, just trying to do everything I could.
And I know, like, you, when I met you at the game room, because I actually walked past it, because I was like, if Vince is going to be anywhere at this convention, it's going to be in the game room. And yep. Lo and behold, you were there.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, hey, dude, we're going to go get something to eat. Please come with us.
I was like, how did you even know I was here?
I was like, you should have been here. This is my...
Yeah.
So how did the test play in the tabletop room go along with the other worlds? Because I know, like, you were talking about, like, other people playing it, I think?
Yeah, so I've been having fantastic feedback at conventions from people that play. And what's crazy is so many people have not played a tabletop RPG, and they don't understand how fun it could be and how fun it is. And so when I managed to convince people to play my game, they end up having a very fun time, and then they end up requesting, you know, me to come back, or they ask me, like, what's the next convention I'll go to and stuff like that. So it's very self-assuring to know that, you know, all these people are having fun once they give it a try and give my game a try. It's really awesome.
Speaking of conventions, actually, you're at Triad AnimeCon as a guest. I like to hear all about that.
All right, so Triad AnimeCon was the first anime convention that I hosted Otherworlds at, and it was a pretty big deal because the other conventions I've been at were, like, strictly gaming conventions, and I wasn't sure how the anime crowd would react to Otherworlds, because at most anime conventions, they don't have a whole lot of tabletop role-playing games, and I think at Triad AnimeCon, they didn't have any at all, so I was, like, the only one, but we have way more people than I expected. And it was actually crazy because I was just thinking, like, we had people just flooding in the doors. And I was like, man, like, how am I supposed to, you know, like, it was crazy because I wasn't used to talking to that many people. And, but I got the game around to a ton of people. And, I had these, like, newsletter forms that people could sign up for the newsletter. and stuff like that. And so it like tripled our newsletter subscribers just from that one convention alone. So it was a fantastic time, and I was very happy to go to Triad Anime Con. And I'm pretty sure that they want me to come back next year, so I'm pretty happy about that.
So did you do anything else at Triad Anime Con, or just see the other guests that were there?
Let's see. I really wanted to see the guests because my girlfriend was with me, and she really enjoys seeing them. But unfortunately, I had to basically work the entire convention, which is also a first. I haven't quite had to work like an entire convention, but I was pretty much always doing something at Triad Anime Con that was related to my panels and my gaming. So I didn't really have any time to go check out the guests.
So wait, was it like a 3-day convention or was it 2 days?
It was a 3-day convention. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking that there was more to that answer than there really was.
How was the hotel experience at the Fulton?
It was nice. I have this weird fancy of, like, I just love staying in hotels for some reason. I like staying in hotels more than like anyone else on it. I don't know why. I guess it just reminds me of like road trips and like adventuring and stuff. And so, I enjoy just kind of getting out of the house and being able to stay somewhere else. So I enjoyed it, and I enjoy being at the, I enjoy staying at conventions as well, because whenever, you know, it's like late at night and you're going up the elevator, you're always stuck there with like some teddy bear and some, you know, Jinx and some superheroes. So it's always interesting.
And the furry crowd.
Yeah, you're just stuck with it. Yeah, the furry crowd, especially because of the raids and stuff that go on. So it's pretty interesting. I like it.
Wait, did you happen to stick around for the raid for Rashikan?
I did not. The people that I rode with, they have some family up there. So we spent the time, we spent that night gaming with them instead.
I got nothing else to add about Rashikan or anything. Let's see what's up.
No, I had a lot of fun. It was like my fourth time going there, and I'll probably end up going there next year like Dustin will. He can't resist it.
I guess not, because I'm just like, oh, I got a free weekend before finals. Why not? That's how it is like every year so far. Alright, so I guess probably might be the time to film that interview with, that I did with Ashikana, which is like about 15 minutes or so.
Sounds good.
Right. And then I guess we can go ahead and talk about Psychic Wars.
All right, testing. It does say it's recording, and it's picking up sound. My sound especially. You talk.
I am a salamander.
Hey. All right. See, I'm not even like I'm using my phone. I think that's the mic up here. It's down here. Okay, it's down there. That's
okay,
the
cool.
Problem.
Let's kiss.
Okay. So this is the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. This is your host, Zionic or Dustin, however, and I am at NashiCon 2015 with Otherworld game designer and creator Vincent Baker. That was your last name, right?
That is correct. That is my last name, good sir. You've only known me for a little while. It's okay.
What do you mean a little while? I've known you for about 4 years.
Then you should know my last name.
I haven't heard your last name being said in like 2 years, because like we both went to, so our history together is that we both went to Piedmont Tech, and we both are alumni of Piedmont Tech 2013.
Yeah, buddy.
I was summer or the end of summer, and you got your degree finally in December because Kendall messed up on like your degree or whatever. You told me about that.
Yeah, long story. Hopefully he doesn't listen to the podcast.
He's not going to know. He better not know. He's probably going to know.
Hey, yo, Kendall, hey.
Hey, Kendall, if you're listening, we don't mean to trash talk you much. So anyways, Vince, could you tell me a little bit about Otherworlds? How did you really first start out with coming up with the game together?
Okay, so Otherworlds is purely based off of my childhood imagination. Growing up, I had so many different influences. I played Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, Final Fantasy games, Mortal Kombat, all this awesome gaming that my dad got me into, and it just sort of kind of... morphed into my own fantasy world called or my own fantasy universe called Otherworlds, and as I matured, I wanted to put it into a tabletop game, and so now we have Otherworlds.
Nice. So when did you start kind of actually designing Otherworlds and putting everything, the pieces together and everything?
Okay, so like I said, the universe was kind of coming together ever since I was like 7 years old. When it started becoming a game, it was probably about like I guess at this point it'd be about 6 years. But I really, really focused in on making it a tabletop role-playing game for the past 2 years. And it's been a lot of challenges, but it's been a lot of fun. And I feel all the wiser in designing games, and I've really taken it upon myself to really work hard on this, and I'm really happy with how it's turned out so far.
Okay, nice. Now, there's also, I know when I talked to you, you said there was a lot of references to anime in it. Do you know what particular kinds of anime series or shows that have played a large role into this game?
Okay, so it's definitely influenced by anime, just because I just love how it affects people. I believe in the type of friendships and bonding, I love the colorful art styles and stuff in anime, and that's really what the influences come from. As far as like particular characters or things like that, there's not a whole lot of influence. It's just more so the love for the style and the unique character designs, and just like the look of things.
Okay, and what would you say that's the most challenging part of making other worlds come together?
That's a very great question, Dustin. The biggest challenge for other worlds would have to be, let's see.
All of it?
Yeah, it's so much. I would say it's learning a lot of knowledge that you never thought you'd have to know. And I know that sounds kind of vague, but basically, whenever you really dive into a project and you really want to make it a reality, there's a lot more pieces to that puzzle than you realize at first. And I think that happens to a lot of people. It's just kind of like, if you really get into like any sort of profession, there's just so much more to it. It doesn't matter what your profession is. You know, there's an art and a technique to everything, and game design is one of those things. And so it's not just me diddling around just saying, hey, this would be a cool game. There's actually design or game design philosophies and standards and right things to do and wrong things to do and things that work and don't work and all this other stuff. And so I would say just learning all this new material and learning what's good and what's bad and just making sure that I actually deliver a great game to the world.
So what made you want to do this as a tabletop game?
Okay, so I wanted to do this as a tabletop game because I love video games and tabletop games. I'm a huge fan of card games, board games, tabletop role-playing games, video games, it doesn't matter. I'm a fan of any type of game. The reason why I focus specifically on tabletop role-playing games is because it actually gives me more room to do more stuff. If I wanted to do what I have in the other world's tabletop RPG, it would take a single person their entire lifetime and then some to do what's already in Other Worlds. And I didn't want to be limited. Other Worlds is a limitless RPG, and therefore I want there to be tons of content. I want there to be everything you can think of to do. And the only sensible way of doing that is a tabletop role-playing game, unless you have a team of 1,000 people and billions of dollars, which I don't have. There's no video game that's as expansive as Other Worlds is as a tabletop role-playing game. So, long story short, that's why.
Well, I mean, I think you're in the same boat as other people that, I think you're in the same boat as other people who, like, don't have $1 billion and hundreds of people at their whim to make something. So with all the work that you've done in the game so far, what else is there left to do?
Okay, so, the game itself is completely done. The system is done. The game is completely playable. Really, all we need now is a few more pieces of artwork and to get the books printed. We're going to be launching on Kickstarter in fewer than 2 weeks, and I'm really excited for it because we'll get the final pieces together at that point, and the game will be out there for everyone. Currently, you can already get a quick start guide if you like us on Facebook. And you can already kind of play demo games with your friends, and you can ask me any questions that you may have, and I'll be more than happy to help you out. But we'll have all the content available to everybody coming up within this year or next year, and I'm very excited for it.
I had a question about your characters in the game, or really just kind of really how those characters are set up. Like, are they like the same as like most tabletop RPGs? You have to build a character, or are there preset characters you can start out with?
That's an excellent question. So, just like at NashiCon, I love hosting other worlds for people. And what I do at conventions or any place that I demo games is I to get people involved in the game is I give them a list of pre-made characters. And these characters are characters built with the system, and they are built from the game, and they have such a wide spectrum to make sure there's a character that everyone likes. And they each have backstories and everything like that. But basically, in the game, you make your own characters. But the pre-made characters are just there to kind of jump into, so you don't have to learn how to make a character before you can learn if you even like the game. So you learn that you like the game. If you do like the game, you get to come back and then make your character however you want once you understand how the game is played.
How would you characterize like the balances between the characters? Like, do you have one character that's particularly stronger than the other ones in certain areas? Or are they all balanced in their own way where one has ability but one can't really overpower the other one or something like that?
Okay, so I think part of good game design is to have an amount of variance that's unpredictable, but not so much variance that the person ahead feels like they can just automatically go to last place all the time. Like, you need a catch-up factor. So in other worlds, any character can outbeat any other character, but characters still have their strengths and weaknesses. If you want to build your character to be a healer, you're going to be stronger at healing people than someone that's not. But every character has their flaws, their advantages, and it's all depending on how you build them and how you play them. So
what was your favorite part of making other worlds happen or make it to a reality?
Honestly, my favorite part is just seeing it all come together and seeing it start from being 7 years, sketches when I was like a 7-year-old boy where the guys look like potato men, and then seeing like where it's come ever since then to now. It's just been a dream come true to just see all this put together and it just being more of a reality each and every day. And also, I love meeting the people that I get to when I get to outreach the game to others. I've met so many new friends, and I even met my girlfriend because of this game. So this game's really brought people together, and especially in my life, and I really appreciate it for that.
Now, when you were able to take this game to other conventions and really display and talk about it and have other people play it, like, what are some of those conventions that you brought it to? And if you've gone to these conventions, have you ever been featured as a guest?
Oh yeah, I love being featured as a guest. I outreach to conventions and I tell them what I'm all about, and then they're more than happy to have me. And it's really cool to have me be at anime conventions like NashiCon, and I was at TriadCon, and it's cool because at anime conventions they're not used to having tabletop games, and so I get to bring something new to the anime convention.
It's still recording with it.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So in case if you did not know, it stopped recording for a little, or it didn't stop recording, but we thought it might have because
the screen went black, and then I was like, oh wait, I think my phone's doing that to save whatever left the battery is because my phone's a piece of garbage. But
but
if you wanted to continue your thought train on the convention scene.
Yeah. So okay, I've been to TriadCon, MonsterCon, GobbleCon. I got other conventions lined up, and I was just basically saying it's cool to be at anime conventions, especially because no one's really expecting me here because they don't really have the whole tabletop gaming thing very prominent, and I get to sort of bring that to the forefront and bring that to people and expose it to people, and then they actually fall in love with it once they give it a chance. So it's awesome.
Out of your con experiences, which one seems to be the best experience and which one seems to be the worst so far?
Oh man, that's hard. Best convention experience.
In terms of like getting feedback from other people about the game, like which one did you feel like you got a lot of feedback from, and which ones you feel like you didn't get as much feedback?
Well, luckily, I'm not sure if it's just my personality, but I make sure I ask every single person that's played the game, what they thought and if they liked it and things like that. And I try to let them know, don't worry about hurting my feelings or anything like that. I want honest opinions. And the feedback from everywhere has been really good. And it just really validates my passion in moving forward with this because, the last thing I want to do is be kind of blind and work hard on a game that no one actually likes. Yeah. But I've gotten just really good positive feedback and it's really just kept pushing me forward knowing that so many people go out of their way to play it, and people have actually requested me to be at conventions, and people have asked me, you know, am I ever going to be around where they live again? Because some of the conventions are like 2 hours away, and so they can't come to my games on a regular basis, and they're like, please come back, please let us know whenever you're coming back. So that sort of thing really validates that the game's good, because they wouldn't say that stuff to me if they hated the game. So.
Okay, and then also regarding your Kickstarter, like what are some of your biggest perks for wanting to, or I guess you haven't posted up yet, but what are some of the perks ideas that you have in mind to be able to get people to gather in order to support your project?
Okay, so obviously you guys can pick up the game on Kickstarter, but some of the coolest perks that you can do is I really want to be involved with the community. So we're going to have where you can come up with your own legendary weapons and have them featured in the game, and you'll get credit for the design of the weapons. So me and you will work together and we'll come up with an awesome weapon. So if you want a flamethrower that shoots out dragon flames and incinerates people, or if you want to, you know, whatever kind of crazy weapon you can think of, we'll work together on it, and I'll create it for the game, and you'll have your credits be in the game. Another thing that you can get on Kickstarter is you can create a race with me, and we'll have that race developed and put into the game. So I really want the community to be involved with this, and I really want this to be something that we can work together on, and any ideas that the community has as a whole, I want to bring that to the forefront of this game, because, like I said, it's the Limitless RPG, so we can do whatever you guys want.
All right. My other question would be, do you have any plans for going to upcoming conventions?
Okay, so I don't want to spoil all the conventions I have planned, but I definitely plan on going to some more conventions. I'm going to be a guest at MonsterCon, which I'm excited for, because I got to go there last year. But this year, our kind of motto for the Otherworlds team is it's going to be 450% better, because we're doing 450% more hours of work than we did last year for hosting games and stuff. So I'm really excited about that. For you guys that don't know, MonsterCon is going to be in Gaffney. So be sure to come by for that, because it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to be either running games, or my friends that I'm training are going to be running Otherworlds games. We're going to have a few panels and some other cool stuff, so be sure to check us out there.
Actually, how many of the people are on this staff with you to help make this game?
Technically, it's basically just me, and I just have friends that help here and there. I don't really have a team, so to speak. But luckily, they give me opinions, and the people that will be at MonsterCon demoing the games, they're still kind of like in training. But yeah, I don't really have other people that do any of the. I do like 99%, or I don't want to say 99%, because I get a lot of help from friends. But I do most of the legwork and the business work, and you know, the games direction and stuff like that.
All right, I think that'd be it for our interview. I've got really nothing else to add, unless you want to throw something else out there.
Otherworlds, even if you've never played a tabletop RPG, neither has a large portion of our fans. And I'd say just give us a try. Give us a look on Kickstarter and on Facebook. You can check us out on Facebook at the Otherworlds Universe. Just give us a look. And if you like what you see, tell your friends about us. And... yeah, hopefully we can hang out and talk and all that good stuff. So it's nice being on the podcast. So thank you, Dustin, for, you know, nice being questioned and interviewed and everything. So, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so that's going to conclude our interview at NashiCon with Vincent Baker, lead person, head honcho, the main crap of Elder Worlds.
Main squeeze.
All right, let's go ahead and stop this. Finish.
No, so Ghost is probably the worst book I've ever read that didn't have a shark in it. Our hero is busy doing what he normally does to blow off steam.
Banging on undergrads?
No.
Oh.
Stalking undergrads. Yeah.
Yeah,
like a rapist in the shadows. So there's that. He's just finished untying a woman who has just been attacked by terrorists. Who are you? Said one of them. A very bad man, Mike said, stooping down and going through the guy's pockets, who in this one case is willing to be a good guy for a while. But if I don't get at least a blowjob out of this, I'm going to be mighty pissed. One of the girls in the front rank dropped her head and shook it. How can you say something like that? She shrieked. You're as bad as them. Yep, sure am, Mike said.
This guy needs to write Japanese dating sims.
The Alpha Counter Podcast from the creators of Method to Madness. Find them on iTunes and alphacounter.com.
my nephew, like the Power Rangers. And I did this on his birthday where he had all his friends around. They were like, Green Ranger. I said, let me show you the real Sentai. I'm going to show you the episode where Green Ranger actually died. And they were sitting there looking. A couple kids start crying like, no, Green Ranger can't be daddy. And the parents were like, what are you showing our kids?
The Anime World Order Podcast.
Not suitable for children because the truth hurts.
Visit us online at www.animeworldorder.com.
They. I watched Naruto on the TV. I'm an anime fan just like you.
Get out of here. Naruto is entry-level weeaboo crap. Smells as bad as your face. I'm Rhea One.
If y'all think that Microsoft Mike was tripping, and you agree with Microsoft Cristal, Cristal like the champagne, then y'all should listen to the Daily Anime Podcast. So head on over to dailyanimepodcast.com and give it a listen, because we might not actually be daily, but we're the realest podcast there is when it comes to this anime nonsense.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw it 1 a.m. last night, and I thought it was going to put me to sleep until I realized it just kept getting stupider and stupider. All right, so, John, what got you into wanting to pick Psychic Wars for this review?
Well, I just watched it a few weeks ago because I felt like watching some of the stuff I missed on TV. Like, this aired on Anna Monday at one point, but I didn't bother to watch it because Anna Monday was... I mean, it was kind of mostly reruns at that point, but this was a classic dubbed by, I guess, Manga UK, right?
I feel like this was put out by US Manga Corps. You know what? Let's find out. Let's see if this is a CPM title in some way, because I'm betting it is. All right, so it was licensed by Manga. That explains everything.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff they were airing on Anna Monday was manga stuff. But okay. Yeah, I found this on YouTube. I think somebody called the Bad Anime Library had uploaded it.
And, yeah, that was the same YouTube account that I saw too.
Yeah, and that is the appropriate title for the Psychic Wars uploader.
I'm just trying to look up American English. There's an English cast, English companies. Yeah, it was put out by Manga, so that's interesting. I'm not sure. I wonder, like, when exactly it aired on Manga. So I guess it was, like, I know they aired it, like, probably the same time they did Vampire Wars.
Yeah, and, I watched that one, too, and it was also pretty bad.
I remember watching bits and pieces of Vampire Wars on TV. But if we're going to talk about anime that has wars in the title... We've got Vampire Wars, we've got Big Wars, we got Venus Wars. Vince, yeah. I'm not making up these titles. These are real titles for these things.
Hey, man, I believe you.
I don't know, John, can you think of any of the titles that have the name War in it?
Sakura Wars.
Oh, right. Well, Sakura Wars is good. That's probably why I can't think of it.
Oh.
Well, Venus Wars wasn't too bad. I know Big Wars is another thing on its own.
I haven't seen Big Wars or Venus Wars or Sakura Wars.
Yeah, I've got Venus Wars on VHS and then Big Wars on DVD because I was curious. Big Wars is just probably slightly better than Psychic Wars and Vampire Wars.
Only slightly.
I think I'm just saying something.
So it's like a 3 out of 10.
5, I think, is being too generous. Oh, do you want to grab my iPad real quick so I can get my notes?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I basically, like, when I took notes on this last night, like, I was basically, like, just kind of, like, halfway writing stuff because I was so tired. But yeah, I mean, like, it starts out, it's basically the main person of interest is this guy that's a doctor. And they wind up helping this woman get out of cancer from her body, which is like some old woman, which was like a priest or something.
She had the worst voice, too.
All of them had the worst voice. No. Well, the thing was, it's like, I think they're trying to go for a somber note on this job. And they're like, okay, when you act, you gotta talk very monotone like this. You can't really raise your voice, lower it anymore. It's gotta be very monotone. And I'm talking to you. We talked about this anime called Psychic Wars. This is how they talk in the anime.
And I am sick and dying.
Yeah, but like the pacing on this was like all over the place. Like they would go, like something would happen, and then they would jump into another scene. Like out of nowhere, there was no transition to where they were. Like 1 second they're at the hospital, and then they're in the woods walking, or like they're at the temple when they fight like the two ogres that come to life. And then they're outside fighting the ogres.
Or they'll teleport thousands of years in time randomly.
Yeah. I didn't know what was up with that. Like, okay, you know what, we're jumping over the place, but like, does it really matter?
Hey, we're just trying to follow like the anime does.
Yeah, we're just skipping along because the anime does that. So like, I think you're telling it accurately. All right. So here's what I got. So it's some summary of it was something about a rainbow in 5,000 years. And then the surgery, this is what I wrote down. And then there's something about a surgery with the old woman. And then it goes to the doctor in the woods where he gets like, then a purple light comes from the sky and like a statue breaks. And he gets the powers of like Super Saiyan Goku or something.
Yeah. I don't know where the powers come from. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, it did just kind of happen. And then the next thing you know, he's like back working at the office. And then the woman apparently dies because like his assistant nurse lady is like saying, oh, she was doing fine. And all of a sudden her health deteriorated. And then like there was a point where like the cancer was like this red virus or whatever that's attacking people. And he like lightning speed runs down the hallway and punches a door out or like a wall and then proceeds to punch the crap out of the red blob virus.
Yeah, he fights cancer.
Punches the crap out of cancer.
Yeah, he's found the cure for it. You just have to punch cancer.
It's a bare knuckle brawl with cancer. That's the true form of winning. All this billions of dollars of research, all we had to do was punch the crap out of patients and that would cure cancer. Why are we following this practice? How much money we can save? But then because of his Goku Jesus powers, like he's able to like, he's now like chosen to fight demons or something. And which the demons are just like these giant ogre people. And then they drive out to the woods again. And then I'm reading and she somehow passed on something about, I think he's talking to the nurse, like in the woods. And his direct dialogue is like, she somehow passed on the most awesome powers to me. Like, it was the line. But he was seeing how awesome it was. He was like, she passed on the most awesome powers to me. And the girl's like, wow, that's so amazing. He's like, I know. Transition to another scene called a car ride. And they mentioned something about Shenmue spirits. Oh, no, they're driving. And then he's like, I'm following my Shenmue spirit. It knows where to go in the woods.
Yeah, I don't know what that even means. I guess it's his powers that let him punch cancer or something that took him to the woods.
So now I'm thinking this should be a collaboration with the next Shenmue game. Like, Ryo Hazuki is like at a hospital and they're like, this patient's dying of cancer, Ryo, what should he do? And it's like, and they're like, dude, all these attacks on this patient, on this old woman. They're like, oh, thank you, you beat the cancer out of me, Ryo.
Yeah, the next one you'll have to do quick time events to beat cancer.
Oh, you Suzuki, get on that. That is totally the next plot for Shenmue.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, man, I still got to beat Shenmue 2. Did you even beat Shenmue 1 eventually? Because we talked about that. We talked about that game like 2 years ago.
No, I'm still on disc 3.
Oh.
I've never figured out how to do the forklift thing. Like, I can't lift boxes. I just suck at it.
It's like two buttons, dude, and like the joystick. It aren't hard.
Well, I keep like charging at the boxes, and it doesn't pick it up. So like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Wait. If you still go after the boxes, do you still get paid for a day's work even though you lift nothing?
No, the guy just chews you out. He's like, you need to figure out how to lift some boxes already.
Come back tomorrow.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, I never got that because I'm a good hard worker in Shenmue.
Well, it's not like I'm short on money, but I don't know like how long I have to hang out doing this forklift stuff.
I can't even remember if it's actually like a central plot to the game to actually get clicked on.
I mean, the plot did kind of advance, like, even when I didn't do anything, because he would, like, meet people at the docks that would tell him about his father's death or whatever it is that he was trying to figure out about. Anyway, we get kind of off topic there. So where were we on Psychic Force?
I don't know. We should just stay off topic on Shenmue, because that's a better conversation than this anime.
Oh, is it the Shenmue spirits or whatever? That's what...
Yeah, well, I think it's when they discover the cave, because then they run into, like, some guy from the university that's a friend of the doctor's, and he's talking about how awesome this, like, underground area cave is, and, like, how he wants to discover it. I think he's, like, telling him how to get there, but he's like, well, I've never been there before and seen it, but if you find anything, then let me know. And then, like, of course he gets there and destroys it, and then the PhD guy's like, man, why did you have to destroy it? I could have saw that. It's like, why didn't you get off your freaking butt and take a drive up there? Japan's not that big. Use, like, you know, financial money from your university at Kyoto to get there or whatever. I know they got to have money. It's a university. Oh, man. All right. So something about statues shoot light and they're outside somehow. I think that's, like, right before the cave thing. I think that's what I was talking about earlier. And then the doctor summons a sword out of nothing, and he's able to cut an ogre's head off with that. And then something about a beam of light. Man, I don't even know what I wrote at 1 in the morning. None of this is so incoherent, but you know what? It follows so well with his anime.
I remember there's a scene where the doctor guy is, like, fighting an ogre, and he kicks it in the balls, and it starts, like, dancing around, and the
animation goes well. That's where I got confused. Okay, so... Like, this is where my thought mind was going with, on like, because I figured, like, oh, this is just how this anime works. And this is actually just how this anime works and how it ended. But, like, he goes out there to rescue his girlfriend, the nurse lady, and she's, like, naked, tied to a tree or whatever. And then they're underwater, and he goes, and they're, like, basically have, like, this inner monologue of, like, oh, thank you for rescuing me. And then it turns into, like a demon or whatever. And so when he goes to fight it, he kicks it, in the crotch area. And so my mind went, wait, is that ogre male or female? Because I'm thinking, wait, what, is it like, because my first thought was like, oh, she's been a demon this whole time. So I'm guessing like those colored demons or the ogres are all female and they all talk really manly or something. And I just did not get that at all. And I was just like, whatever. There's nothing to put an afterthought into like this anime especially.
Well, I think that was a different ogre than his girlfriend, who is also an ogre, but I'm not sure.
Oh no, spoiler alert. We're gonna get to it anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not revealed until after that scene, like near the end, where they point out that she's an ogre.
Yeah, and see, that's the whole brilliance of the show, because they used foreshadowing. They were like, ooh, she's an ogre. Oh, wait, she's not. Oh, wait, she is.
She was this whole time.
Mind blown.
Well, that's skipping ahead, but, I mean, like, what really happens in between that is the fact that, like, he's five. I think this is when he's in the past, and, like, when all this is happening, when he kicks the ogre in the crotch or whatever. And then, I think that's maybe before. No, that was actually before. I know that actually that was when he went back in time, because apparently with him going back in time, there's that whole effect where it's like warp speed, the Farscape intro, and then there's like these floating priestesses talking to him as he's going back in time. I didn't get that at all. But I guess I was like to try to have their visual transition effect of like he's going back into the past, and I didn't even know he ever like left anywhere. I was just like, well, why are they filming this in here? Okay, now he's not like in the middle of like this swamp area to rescue his girlfriend. There's not a girl, his girlfriend.
Yeah, it seems like there's something missing in this. Like, it should have been a movie.
Transition scenes, better explanation. Oh, man.
No, I mean, like, something missing in the anime itself. Like, not in our explanation of it. I mean, this is about all we could glean from this strange anime, but...
Oh, is it character development? Well, no, the character... No, like, they didn't really develop at all. Better plot? Coherent script? Better translation? Yeah. I keep coming up with all these reasons. This is instead of missing. Well, alright, so apparently he goes to like what, the City of Gold or something where those other ogres are at, and so their mission is to go through this purple beam of light to travel 5,000 years into the future. And then that's just, this is where I also got confused, because I thought like they never traveled anywhere. And so I was like, you're going to travel into a future you don't know anything about. And then they travel into the future and it's like the time period that he's in. So I was like, oh, so he did go back in time. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure when he went back in time. It kind of just happened at some point. But then he was, like, fighting a bunch of ogres, and then he goes back to the future. And
or back to the present. Yeah, the future present time of whenever this anime was made.
Yeah, and, I think that's, like, a 90s anime. Or maybe
it's, 80s. Like, 91, according to Wikipedia.
Okay, yeah.
Moral of the story, someone needs to go back in time and stop this anime from ever being made.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's based off of the manga or anything. It's got a plot on Wikipedia. It's just one of those originally made things created by Toei Animation. Well, you know, Toei's made a lot of crap in the past, so, and even now. So this kind of really fits with them. yeah, so then anyways, they travel to the present future time. And then that's when he, like, fights an ogre with a semi-truck and somehow wins. And then it's like, that's when he, like, confesses his love through sex of the nurse. And then of course she has this explanation of, like, basically leading up that she's an evil person or whatever. I have cities explode. I guess that's what happened. So I wrote, like, and now it's a sex scene in blue filter mode. There's a proposal for marriage. And then eventually, like, oh, it was something about them going to see her parents' house. And then they go out to this, like, really creepy temple in the middle of nowhere. Sketchy as all get out. And she's like, I got something to tell you. And I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. He better figure this out now, as in run away. And then she mentions, spoiler alert, that she's the queen of darkness or whatever. And then he winds up stabbing her with a sword in the forehead. And she's like, I may have lied to you, but my love for you was not a lie. And then that's the it. Like, yeah, that's pretty much it. I said, kills girlfriend, the end.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I wrote down was the fact that, like, they knew each other in the past or something, and she was, like, really butthurt because she had everything and lost it. And I'm just like, okay, so she lost everything. But the worst of it all is going to nursing school to get a degree to become his doctor's assistant. And, yeah. I think that's Psychic Wars in a nutshell, a 50-some minute OVA that we summed up in 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, that saves you the time of having to watch this awful anime.
Well, there's nothing to get in depth to because, like, they don't really tackle anything that happens. It's just a quick transition and a quick car trip to, like, the mountains, then back to work, and then mountains again. It's like, you don't need any, like, kind of, like, drive transition of them leaving. They're just going to teleport back to work in their office clothes and everything. And then they're going to be in the woods 2 seconds later. So, but at least we got Psychic Wars out of the way. And, like, I feel like we're, like, I don't feel like we're missing anything in discussing because there's really nothing there to begin with. I mean, I guess I can find out who worked on this, but nobody's name really came up to mention.
They all were like, please don't mention our names. Like, we will never get another job in our lives.
Yeah, these might all just be synonyms for something. So, yeah, directed by Tetsuo Imazawa. Let's see what he worked on. Worked on a bunch of Digimon stuff, actually.
Huh.
He was episode director for Digimon Adventure in the Frontier. Did storyboard for Dragon Ball. Let's see. Episode director for Great Mazinger. Directed the God Mars movie, which I think that's off the show, God Mars. He was a unit director for Zaxville. So, he's gotten work since then. Nothing else really comes up. There's a new Gigantor. Or Gigantor, as you call it. I'm just curious about the character designer, Masami Suda. Let's see. Oh, he did character design for Dark Cat, another terrible anime that I bought at the Right Stuff sale for hardly nothing. That I watched, and that's another anime that literally nothing happens. That one's boring and bland too.
Is it an OVA or?
Yeah, Dark Cat's an OVA. Actually, he was the character designer for Fist of the North Star.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I guess that's just like for the TV animations. He did it for both series too. That's actually pretty amazing. And he was an animation director for some of it. Even for the movie. Well, I guess that kind of explains it because like freaking the Doctor like hulks out and he's like basically Kenshiro.
Yeah.
That's pretty much like him just saying, you know what? Let's just make this guy like Kenshiro because, like, it's got to appeal to something. So.
They should have just made a Fist of the North Star OVA instead.
He did key animations for the first two episodes of Hellsing Ultimate, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this guy gets work. Worked in Street Fighter 2, key animation, character design for Speed Racer X. And then Speed Racer TV, he was an animation director. This guy's been around for a while. Yeah, that Psychic Wars, really nothing else I want to say.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything more to say about it either.
We saw it, and I guess we can bring up other anime that has wars in the title. I remember Vampire Wars not being that great, so we'll have to definitely cover that sometime.
Yeah, it was pretty strange, too.
I don't know, Vince. You got any final thoughts on Psychic Wars?
Final thoughts on Psychic Wars. Don't watch it.
I never could have said it better myself. All right, I guess it's time for those remarks. If that's all we got.
Okay, I've got an appropriate one for Psychic Wars. Is a tweet from Motivation Dale. Together we can dropkick foot cancer. Together we can beat up fist cancer. Together we can take the dump on butt cancer.
Oh my crap, that's perfect.
I think he must have seen this anime to write that.
Yeah.
What were you about to say?
I was going to say the summary is better than the OVA, but yeah, it's a perfect summary.
Anything new on Chris Chan? I know I've seen some Facebook posts that he posted up.
Oh, yeah, he posted on Facebook that he's... they've got like some new thing on Facebook where you can type in your gender, because previously it was just binary. You either put male or female. And then I guess all the people from Tumblr got all upset because you can't type in your own like made-up gender or whatever. So Chris typed in female trans... lesbian woman of the soul or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And there's also a pronoun section now, and he put she. So I guess Chris... And he also changed his name to Christine Chan. So I guess Chris Chan is now officially female on Facebook, although I don't know if he is, like, illegally female or whatever. I don't know how you do that, but probably that will happen eventually.
Well, I mean, I guess they'll just use his government money to go through an actual sex change. That's the last step.
Well, they'll probably give him one when he's in prison, because for some reason the justice system like subsidizes prisoners who want to get sex changes.
So, wait, but if they make him a woman, like, would they send him to a woman's prison?
Well, he's probably going to try to do that, yeah. I'm pretty sure he will if he gets convicted, which I don't see there's any chance of him getting out of it, because he's a repeat offender, and he was caught on tape paper spraying the guy.
Yeah. Wait, so my thing is, like, I wonder if they can, like, if he convinces them by going to a women's prison, and while he's there, he just impregnates everyone there.
Well, I think that before they will take him there, they have to chop off his dick.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem for that plan.
He does complain how it's a, like a 10-inch growth, and you know it's anyways.
Well, he's always said that he's going to do that, but that he won't do it until he has a kid, which is never going to happen.
Yeah, because no self-respecting woman is that. Even the most desperate people are not that desperate to be with Chris Chan. Like, Vince, are you familiar with Chris Chan? I'm not sure if I ever explained this person to you.
I do not believe I've heard of this man. Or woman. Or
that might be for the best.
Yeah, maybe. I don't
know.
The
creator of Sonichu, which is a electric hedgehog Pokemon, a combination of Sonic and Pikachu, and he's famous for going all around Charlottesville, Virginia, beating up and trying to run over and pepper spraying various video game clerks, and getting in trouble with the law for this, and now he's facing several years in prison potentially for doing all this.
Oh, well, that's good that he's
that is the best summary you can possibly give on Chris Chan. Without that's literally like blowing on the surface without really scraping it. He's even scraping it; it gets worse from there.
Yeah, it could go on for hours because there's so much weird about this guy, but it doesn't need to.
I mean, unless you want to be on our podcast, where we just like. You're like, all right, tell me all about Chris Chan. And then 300 hours later, you would have committed suicide by then.
And that was the last time that we had Vincent Baker on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to be on ever again. I guess that's really it in terms of updates on Chris Chan. I guess my final remark was the fact that I had one of my teeth pulled last week. So, kids, please take care of your teeth, or you won't be pulled. That's literally my advice. So that's completely on my end. And yeah, don't be like me. I really don't have anything else I want to say. I guess like school's finishing up for me. Oh, we have a Kickstarter coming out for Otherworlds.
Yes, I do. In 9 days, Otherworlds will be on Kickstarter. So you can
you give an actual defined date on that?
Yeah, it will be on May 1st. Yeah, 9 days from now. Otherworlds will be on Kickstarter. And it should be really cool, so you should check us out. You can find me on Twitter at TheVindicated. You can find Otherworlds on Facebook at The Otherworlds Universe. And yeah, so just hit me up sometime and look at my game Otherwords.
Do you want to spell out your Twitter handle thing so that people can... Actually, I can actually pull it up. So I don't follow you.
Yeah, it's The Vindicated, so it's TheVindicated.
Okay, well, I've got... There's also another one, which is Otherworlds RPG. That's the one I'm following. Or at Otherworlds RPG.
Yes. So you can keep up to date with Otherworlds on Twitter as well.
We've got 837 followers, so keep adding more numbers to that. Because no one's going to barely follow us. Please follow Otherworlds. But it'd be nice if you just follow us on Twitter, too, because I sometimes say things.
Yeah, sharing is caring, so follow everybody, help one another out. Yeah, all that good stuff.
All right, well, Vince, thank you for stopping by the studio, I guess you could say. And it's funny how, like, we don't have John here, other than I just treat him like Charlie from Charlie's Angels. He's just like this person behind a box or in my computer. For all I know, he's robotic until I actually meet him in person. But my morality will be shattered when we meet face-to-face learning John.
Yeah, that almost happened this year, but our Kickstarter didn't really make enough money. We didn't
get
going, but...
At least we got donations for Indiegogo, and I do plan on using the money to make buttons and also getting a sound mixer, and paying for our yearly .com name, too, so that helps us out.
Yeah.
And with the mixer, I can actually use the microphone now and actually get better sound out of it. So that was my plan, like, last year to get a mixer, but I looked into it here and there, but now we got the actual. I'm just trying to find the best prices on making buttons.
I'm always happy to help other people out. Especially when they have cool projects.
And fellow Team Montech alumni.
Yeah.
That's not even like a really a major title. Like at least for us, like the thing with Chris Chan is the fact that like he got a he actually has a certificate it was like a 1 or 2 year certificate, but it took him like 6 years to get it. But he called it a degree.
Oh, the thing from the community college or whatever for
the CAD degree, yeah.
Yeah, that.
I mean, granted, it's like you got a piece of paper from a college, technical college, community college, or whatever. But it's like, yeah. And then there's the whole being an undergrad and actually getting a bachelor's degree and getting a master's and a PhD.
He got expelled though for a year because of how he kept walking around campus with a sign telling women to date him.
Oh, that's serious. Yeah, I'm that serious, Vince. This is, I mean, imagine like if Piedmont Tech there was a, like that guy that had a sign set up, I'm like, please date.
I'm almost surprised there wasn't.
We know people that would actually do that, though.
Exactly. So.
Well, who did you have in mind?
I don't want to mention names.
I can add them out on the podcast. I'm just curious on your response.
Who are you thinking?
Do you want me to end the recording?
Yeah, let's go ahead and end the recording so it saves me the trouble of editing.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for stopping by the podcast, everyone. See you next time.
Yep. You see me now, a veteran of 1,000 psychic wars. I've been living on the edge so long, where the winds of limbo roar. And I'm young enough to look at, and far too old to see. All the scars are on the inside. There's anything left to me. Don't let these shakes go on. It's time.